Les colloques du Collège de France.
Okay, so the next presentation will be given by Jörg Fehr, who is a professor at the Institute of Engineering and Computational Mechanics at the University of Stuttgart. And he has a lot of collaboration with industries. And actually, he gave me a lot of ideas in order to organize the seminar after my courses, during my course. And his presentation will be from latent space representation to practical surrogate models for structural dynamic systems.
Okay, thank you. So I'm very honored to be here as an engineer among mathematicians. So I'm a little bit scared of this talk. So most of the talk I will be given is based on the doctoral thesis of Jonas Schneifel. And he was really a great collaborator. He was collaborating with a lot of people, with Andrea, with Paolo, with Mason, and so on. So I didn't put all the people in who contributed to this talk. So first I wanted to start with a very simple question. What do you think is the most advanced and affordable technical system we will ever own? Any consideration? Who is not scared? What do you think? What's the most?
Can you repeat the question?
So what's the most affordable, advanced technical system more probably ever from us ever will own?
So generic.
What?
It's so general, this question.
Really. Well, the technical system, what do you have? Maybe your smartphone?
Yes, I would say yes.
Who would go for a smartphone?
A bike.
What?
A bike.
A bike? Okay. Who is going for a car?
Yes.
Okay, a car? So I'm from Stuttgart, okay. For sure, I go for the car, okay? Okay, and like, One month ago, we were visiting Porsche, and we got like we went on the test track, and we're like sitting and seeing this Porsche, and they're really like, if you consider, it's a really great system, and it's affordable, so we can afford it, and not a Porsche, but like a car, in general. But like if you want, you could afford it, okay. More or less. If this is very important for you, you can buy a Porsche. A used one, you can buy. What? Not a university professor. Okay. So what do we get from this car? So we get like integration of disciplines. So we have our smartphone, we have our computers inside. We also have nice seating, so it's as comfortable if you're sitting on our couch. For audio system, and if you have a combustion engine, like within 1 minute, we have thousands of controlled combustions all around, okay? So this is what we all have in a car. And so in the future, they will act autonomously. So this is more or less a modern vehicle, like on a computer and wheel. And I prefer also the bicycle in comparison to the car. But when I got like my first daughter, we had to buy a car. And this is my old car. You see here, so this was my old car, and I got a really good bargain on it. Okay, I'm Swabian, and you know in Germany, the Swabians always got a bargain, and I sold it last year to get an electric car. Okay, and I did some calculations, and it cost me 2.89 euro per day, more or less. Okay, this is the same amount I paid this morning when I went from the Eiffel Tower with a rental bicycle back to the hotel. Okay, so and this is like, so I moved my family of five to England. We made a lot of like vacations, we carried a lot of construction materials. So this is a pretty good system you get for your money, more or less, if you consider it.
But you're not counting the insurance.
Yeah, I didn't count the insurance, but like this is just the material. Okay, so this was like just some. But it's still, yeah, you get something for the money. Also for a smartphone, you get a lot of for your money, if you consider it, okay? Because it's very cheap, all of it. And so this worked very well, and we are very safe. And like a typical simulation I had to do after I finished my PhD, I first went to industry. I didn't do the postdoc all around. I went to industry, and we were developing those safety systems. And this is the typical example of a high fidelity simulation. You see, this is structural dynamical simulation. We want to protect the occupant as best as possible in a scenario. Okay? So this is not something very advanced. This is an old simulation. Maybe we did 8 years ago in my institute, some student. It's a Honda Accord. It's an open source model. We put on some dummies, so no human body models. Nowadays, we simulate this with human body models. And it took about like 70 hours of calculation time. So it's just an example of a highly dimensional system. It's worked good. We get some knowledge out of it. And this is like part of the computer-aided engineering process. You have specialized companies. You have infrastructure. They do the post-processing, the pre-processing. You buy the licenses. You wait for some results, but you get a lot of insights. And the cars are really also very safe nowadays. So we feel very comfortable if we go to a car, and also the number of fatalities really decreased. So this was really good for Germany. So Germany was doing very well on the automotive sector. So we had like a really big trade surplus, and 70% of all German exports were working. And you can look at all this data if you're interested, and if you can read German, here you can read about the data. But now, if you go to the last few years, you see what is happening if this motor is stuttering. And we are located, if you don't know, if you didn't hear from my accent, I'm from Stuttgart, and I'm originally from Stuttgart. This is in Baden-Württemberg, close to France. And there are more than 4% of the people who work in the automotive industry. And now, as you all know, the European car industry is not doing so well. Okay, so when we feel that, we see this, like with finances, with everything, what is happening. So maybe this traditional computer-aided engineering approach, where we wait for one day until we get a simulation or get a result, we have to change it. Okay, so how can we solve that? So consider you're in a doctoral exam, and then Friedrich Merz is calling. And this is what Jonas really put the stunt on, like the prorectorate was also in the examining committee, and the phone was ringing. And Friedrich Merz is asking, how can we save the German automotive industry? And we have a pretty new prototype, okay? So it's a pretty new prototype, and the European Commission needs, we need results. Okay, we have to analyze them. What is happening if we drive against a wall? Okay, and we have to do multiple simulations. Okay, and we only have 27 minutes to make a decision. Okay, so in 27 minutes we need to get a result. And we cannot solve this in this traditional way of simulation. And we had this great presentation of you, Sebastian, as you said, if I had some offline time, maybe the surrogates could help you. And this was like just the beginning of Jonas' doctoral thesis. And now we start with it. So the problem definition, you probably are all familiar and all experts in it. So what we have to do, we have to analyze the structural behavior in a frontal crash. And we don't want to really drive the system against the wall, so we want to do it with a virtual simulation, with a virtual experiment. So what we do, and this is like what is now standard in engineering, we do a modeling. So we take the CID geometry, we import the geometry, we do this special discretization, we assign them some material properties, and then this is like what the engineers say, what they are doing, more or less what the mathematicians say. So we have partial differential equation. We do some test spaces. We transform them to a large set of ordinary differential equation. And then the computer can solve them very efficiently. Okay. So then we can analyze it. So we have this high fidelity simulation. We can predict the system behavior. We can get insight, we can look for the stresses, for the strains, we can do cuts, we can like move around, it's really great, and we do like really want to have parameterized crash simulation. So we want to know what is happening if we change different kind of parameters, for example, velocity, impact angle, different kind of occupants. So we want to have to ensure that the car is as safe as possible for a 50% male, as also for a 5% female, or for like a very heavy man, for young people, for old people, and all of it. Okay, so this is a really what like automotive industry is really trying to solve this in this Vision Zero. So to equal safety for everyone. Okay. So, but we have this complexity, this prohibitive computational effort. And so this means we can use this high performance simulation. Sebastian, you had this very nice picture of this APG. This needs a lot of energy. So maybe we want to solve it on not this HPC computer. Maybe we want to use our smartphone chips because they save more energy. They're more efficient on solving it. Also, there's a trend in automotive industry that we want, depending on the predicted accident scenario, we want to make the best decision in the car. So the car should react in the best possible way to have it. So what we really need, we need to know what deformation behavior we will have, and we need to get this behavior in real time, because based on these models, we maybe want to do model predictive control. So real-time capability is very important. And as done before, we don't want to do it for one parameter, we want to do it all over again. And then we said, okay, also in SimTech, data-driven surrogate modeling is very good. So what we do, this efficient approximator, so we emulate the essential behavior, and at the same time, we drastically reduce the computational effort. Okay? So the challenges which we see, the dimension is usually very high, 10 million, 5 million degrees of freedom. The representation is not the natural representation. The representation comes from the finite element approach that we found general, like ansatz function, not easily for the system, but it's very easy for us to find local ansatz function. And then by using this local ansatz function, we have this general representation. For me, usually we don't want to work with our own solver. We want to work with solvers from industry. So we don't want to develop our own solver. So we really want to use the knowledge which is already in this commercial solver. So we need to get it. We cannot do intrusive MOR. So we stay with the non-intrusive MOR. So sometimes if we also the data quality, we could have some noise in the data if we maybe want to have real data. And the system should stay physically. So we want to keep the physics. They should not, some models then afterwards do not obey physical laws. And it's important that we keep this physics. And as I often call, we have this multi-X problem. We have multiple domains, but we also have multiple solvers. Maybe we do some simulation with a multi-body code, then we do a finite element code. So we switch between different kind of methods. So more or less we have simulation workflows. What you also told, where they have like they did this first predictor and then they do the certification with the second code until they have. So the general approach, you probably all are familiar with it, but like for us, it was really good that Jonas was working on this topic after we had a first doctoral student who started this. Dennis Grunert, who went to Kevin Kahlberg, this general approach which he was working on. So it's a non-intrusive data-driven model auto reduction. So we want to approximate our high fidelity model solution, which is in this case just this crash scenario, the structural dynamical system, and then we want to get this reconstruction very fast. Okay? So we use this data always to identify a suitable low dimensional coordinates and then approximate in the latent space the dynamics. Okay, so let's start with the identification of the low dimensional coordinates, what we are doing. So the classical way is a Galerkin projection. So what we do, we combine the linear combination of the spaces vectors, and then we can have a look on it, how they behave. So more or less, we compose the motion of this of the sum of these main modes, what we have. And The first approach which we started, which we also used, we applied just the SVD. We did a principal component analysis. I don't have to talk about it furthermore.
Just completely. You apply the SVD on what? On the solution that depends on time?
Solution we then define. It really depends on the snapshots of the data, of the structural dynamical data. So this is like, it really depends like how rich is your offline simulation with that data. So I will not talk about this. This is a big issue. This is an important issue where we now try to do active learning approaches that we start with low data. Then we see if we don't have good simulation, we do some error indicators, error measures also with Bernard. And then like from these error indicators, we go back to the full solution and add it. But like just like for, if I give this presentation to engineers, they are, so I say, we do a SVD, a principal component engineering. So, okay, this was our first approach. This is how we started. And then like during the PhD of Jonas, this autoencoder became popular, this bottleneck architecture. And then later on, I will talk a little bit about variational autoencoder, what Jonas did with Paolo and Andrea. Together, and then also convolutional autoencoder are very nice. They work very well in image processing, but we have a non-regular grid. So if we want to apply it to finite element systems, we need to use graph convolutional autoencoder to do it, because we have non-Euclidean structured data from it. So we implemented all of them, and I will later show you then the results, the comparison of it. So how do we see this? So we go from the physical space with this encoder approach. We try to transform our system into a new representation. And we hope that this representation is compact. It has a much higher information density. So, and because we have this compact representation, we hope to be able to extract the important features there much easier, you know. And we probably then have a simpler dynamics in this low dimensional, this latent discretization, and then can learn there. Okay. So now we come to the learning part. Okay. So the easiest way to do, we can really approximate the solution directly, depending on our parameter. We can approximate the whole solution space immediately, but we can also learn the dynamics, so we tested different kind of things. So simplest way is just to do a regression. I have like the time and the parameter. Parameter, for example, is impact velocity, and I'm interested in this latent representation over time. And then with the decoder structure, I can reconstruct the solution. What we always did, combined optimization, okay, more or less. So we never like first, like always like a combined optimization to minimize the reconstruction and also minimize the latent approximation. So I will give you, like now we compare different kind of surrogates. The first surrogate we want to compare is a PCA. So on the representation, we compare PCA in comparison to this autoencoder. And for the dynamics, we just use a multilayer perceptron. We also tested a LSTM, but here for the examples on the card, we now just want to compare it with the multilayer perceptron. And here you see the results. This finite element simulation, it took like one simulation takes about like 15 to 20 minutes. If I do a PCA in comparison with a multilayer perception for learning dynamics, I can like really get, I only need 75 milliseconds to simulate to get a result. The training took 390 seconds and the error is between 16 millimeter. Which is pretty small for a crash. The autoencoder, the evaluation, it's same effort, only 78 milliseconds to simulate it. The training took 7,000 seconds and the error is only 8 millimeters. So in general, so this is pretty impressive. So we were like 15,000 times faster, and the error was in between 3%. And such approaches are also included in Altair. I don't know if you know Altair as a company, as a big company. So they said this is AI assisted simulation, and they were very good in marketing. So Siemens bought them for 10 billion last year. Okay, so this is where they stop. So this is a part what they sell as AI assistant, I think. So, but you as a professor, if you have a good PhD student, you don't stop, and you ask him, can we get the error even lower? And then Jonas, with Nathan and me, we came up with a new approach. Can we do it in a multi-hierarchical fashion? So we had this idea, so maybe it's easier if we learn the overall dynamic, not on such a fine representation. Maybe we can use some ideas which are available in finite element modeling. Can we coarsen the model, do a mesh simplification? And then after we simplified the mesh, we do first a coarser mesh. So here you see we can downsample the graph. So we have a very simple mesh. And then we start building our surrogates. So here, we build our surrogates. On first, we build a surrogate for the coarsest level. We can use whatever we like. Here we use multi-layer perceptions again. And then we start here. We learn the overall dynamics. And once we are finished with the highest level, which is the coarsest level, we do transfer learning to go back to the next steps and then improve it. So what we then see from this multi-hierarchical approach, so these macroscale features are learned on the coarse level. It's very nice. And also what we see that if we compare now this, so this in this blue ones, this is this multi-hierarchical approach, we speed up the training time. And if we later want to use this this model in a real-time environment and just use the model maybe as a FMU on our machine or on the car, we have much less parameters because the number of parameters is later what's the representation of the surrogate model, and we want to use the surrogate model maybe in a model predictive control framework. So this is also one nice advantages. And also from the approximating quality, the relative error is below 1.5%. To be honest, if you use a graph convolutional autoencoder, we also got very good results, but then the number of parameters are very high. Okay. So this was like on this part, so we were very happy with this part. So now I come to the second part. So we solved some issue on the structural dynamical system. Now we also want to see if this approach also works for multiphysic problem. So can we get interpretable surrogates for a disc brake model? So in the car, we also have brakes. And one problem which we looked at with Porsche for a long time is the brake squeal problem, what you know. So if you brake very hard, then sometimes the brake squeals. And this is a fully coupled linear thermomechanical systems. And so we want to apply the Port Hamiltonian system description because I once went to Volker Mehrmann in Berlin and he missionized me to become a follower of the Port Hamiltonian school. And so again, same structure, but now we are not interested in just replicating the behavior. We really want to uncover the equation underlying. So what we want to learn is here the right-hand side of the ODE, more or less. So together with Bernard and Johannes Redberg and also now a PhD student who works with Felix, we came up with this latent discovery where we use a special structure for the latent space that we can ensure that we have the Port Hamiltonian features kept in the system. So more or less what we do, we learn the weights and then we sort the weights to specific matrices. And if we sort this way to the specific matrices, we can ensure that, for example, our Q is positive, is symmetric and positive definite. Our J is pseudo-symmetric, and our R is positive semi-definite and also symmetric. So if we use this kind of framework, we can really ensure that our latent dynamics has this Port Hamiltonian structure and is stable and passive again. Okay, so some results. So here the results we see, these are predictions for unseen test cases. So we changed the material properties and we changed the heat flux. What we got out, so our system is really real-time capable, it's stable and passive. And here we see the temperature distribution on this disk break. Also, the approximation quality is pretty good, not only for the displacement, where we see a lot of results nowadays in engineering. A lot of people like try to use this data-driven, non-intrusive model or reduction with autoencoder to get a good approximation and write papers about it. Usually they get a very good approximation for the displacement. But then if you have more or less a multi-physics problems, then sometimes it's really becomes more difficult, because then also the design of the loss function is always the challenge you have. So you have to design the loss function in a proper way to get it. Here we also were happy with like getting a low error in the velocity. So also the error in the velocity is 1.5%. But as you see, the temperature is not as good as approximated as the displacement. So displacement approximation by multi-layer perception in this general, you go down with a POD approach to latent space to approximation with multi-layer perception. For displacements, you very often get very, very good results. So this is amazingly how well it works, so out of the box. So here we also got a good result for the temperature. Okay, so the last part, this was now, we will talk about a MEMS resonator, because as I mentioned before, I was working in vehicle safety, so we were developing these airbags, and these airbags, they have to, you have to like also make an explosion to fill up this airbag very fast, maybe 10 to 15 milliseconds, and then you need a MEMS sensor which detects that we hit the wall. This acceleration sensor, same sensor we all have in our smartphone, that the smartphone sees if we turn the screen, more or less. Okay, so and this was an example Paolo introduced to us. So we have this MEMS resonator. We will have the displacement. We have the velocity and also the acceleration. And what we see here, we have also some noisy data, especially in the acceleration in there. And then this very nice approach, which is really good if you send your people away, if they get exposed to different kind of movements. So this Veni, Vindi, Vici approach, which was more or less is a joint work of Jonas and Paolo. They both met in Seattle when they both did a research stay abroad with Nathan and Steve, and they connected really, really well. Paolo was supervised by Andrea and Professor Achille Franghini, and then they did regular visits. Jonas went to Mailand, I think, two or three times. Paolo was like visiting Stuttgart as very often, and more or less they developed a framework, as far as I know, most by their own. So I didn't have to do much, so they did really well. So they also came up with this really nice name, Veni, Vindi, Vici. So I would never be so creative. So what they do, so again, offline training, so encoder, decoder structure, and now instead of like having a standard encoding, So we really do a variational encoding of the noisy inputs. So now they use probabilistic autoencoders. So instead of learning a sharp power meter, now we learn a distribution over the latent spans instead of fixed codes. And then we have this encoder, and now this maps the input to parameters of a latent distribution. So instead of learning one parameter, we learn the mean and the variance. Okay? So then in the latent space, we encode our uncertainty via sampling. So we have a Gaussian normal distribution. So we have our mean and we have our variance. And then we have, again, the decoder, and this will reconstruct our data from this latent approach. So second part is like this extension of the Cindy method, the sparse identification of nonlinear dynamics. So now we have a variational identification of nonlinear dynamics. So again, we find the data, but now this data is represented by distributions. So again, we need to select the correct candidate features. This is very important to find the good candidate features. But for me as an engineer, I like this approach because there I can put all my knowledge I have about the system also to the latent space. So I can I don't throw away the knowledge I have or I acquired over the 10, 20 years of engineering practice. So then we have to find this unknown coefficients, and this unknown coefficients, we want that they are sparse. So later on, we will get this probabilistic model. Okay. As mentioned before, we were always a fan of building this combined loss and do this training in general. So ensure that reconstruction is good, that the posterior for set is good, that the latent dynamics is well approximated, also that the posterior is good approximated, and also that the full dynamics is well approximated. So this is like five parts of the loss functions. A proper scaling is important, and some mass is included so that we have the good loss functions. So and then we can, in the last part, if we have our encoder, if we extracted our dynamics, we can do a time integration. This is very nice. And then in the time integration, instead of getting a sharp value, we also now get this uncertainty bounds in the latent space. And then we can put it through the decoder, and then we get our prediction and have an uncertainty quantification. So let's see how this works for this MEMS resonator, so my numerical results. So I have noisy data, and I want to identify this physical consistent model. So for the comparison, so the little equation of this this beam equation is the following. So we have like Z double square minus omega square Z minus 2 times epsilon omega so on, Z and so on. And now you have to look careful. So this model terms. So always if we have a distribution or mean at zero, this means this parameter does not contribute to our solution. Okay? So for example, if we have here Z square and we don't see it in the analytical equations. So this is fine. And we don't have a product of Z dot times Z. Okay, so this is also so we also don't select this. But like what we see, we have a contribution of Z. Okay, this correlates to this. We have a parameter which correlates to Z dot, and we have a parameter which correlates to Z to the power of 3, and we have a constant parameter cosine in there. So then, as mentioned before, now we could also do extrapolation, and now we did just some extrapolation in time. And so the test data was still here. And then we continued with a longer time. And then we really still like had a stable system, stable behavior, okay? And also we got this uncertainty bound, which is really nice so that we get additional information about the system. So let me come to my conclusion. I showed you today three examples of data-driven surrogate modeling. First, the frame, structural dynamical system, done this disk break as a multi-physics system, and here some noisy data, this beam resonator, which is nowadays also very important, these micro-mechanical systems which we have in our smartphones. Limitations. I didn't talk about this expensive offline pace. I only said that we work now on active learning approaches so that we don't, that we really save time in this offline phase. For sure, we did some hyperparameter tuning to get good results. That's always, there's some hyperparameter tuning involved, so we have to be honest with it. It's important that we know the scope of validity. So I think this variation autoencoder could help us, but we have to be honest when we present these results, for which parameter spaces the models are valid or not. Extrapolation is an issue. The strength which we have, so this was all non-intrusive. We have access to the simulation results of a lot of commercial solvers where we can profit from all the knowledge which are in the solver. It also dealt nicely with non-linearity because of the autoencoder. They were very efficient. Our success factors, what we think is really important, that we find a flattened embedding and that we only learn in the low-dimensional representation. And in the latent dynamics, we can do approximation, we can do identification, and so on. This multi-hierarchical approach, so it's a black box model, so we can really use it now also for other systems, for example, for some multi-physics systems. And what we saw, it captured nicely this macro and micro scale features, which is common in a lot of engineering problems, what we have. This pH approach, we have a structural preservation, and we were also able to get good results in a multi-domain settings. And Vini, Vindi, Vici, this is the newest paper where we can also work on uncertainty quantification. To come to my end, I have to say thank you, especially to Jonas, which is sitting here. It's part of our great team at the Institute of Engineering Computational Mechanics, but also all the people of SimTech. And this great collaboration, which was only possible because SimTech had the funds to send these PhD students away for 3 months, which I really appreciated. If you want to work with, not work with me, but with Jonas, I think since 2 months he is at the Center of Artificial Intelligence in Warsaw now. After he traveled the world, now he started his postdoc in Warsaw at Artificial Intelligence. Just the most important literature, and also his PhD thesis is now available. Okay? So that's all.
Okay, thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.